thanks again very much for joining us on the call here. I'm not sure how many of you are already aware of Ian and his work. I'd like to thank you first of all, Ian, really, for taking the time out to come and do this with us all today. I know just how busy you are. But let me give a brief summary of how I've got to understand a little bit about Ian so far. I know there's well over 30 years experience there, Ian, in the IT business, and predominantly as an IT strategist now, but specialising in an almost evangelical way about social networking, but very much as part of an integrated strategy, not just as a kind of a standalone tool or toy. And what I want to do, Ian, if I can, is to kind of push you around a little bit this afternoon, because I guess like all the people in business, I come from a place where I see a lot of social networking, Twitters and Facebooks and the like, as being an incredibly big waste of people's time in business. Now, after I've been looking at some of your work and started to understand what's there, I now see that from a different perspective. But can you enlighten us just a little bit? Let's kick off with the fact that, yeah, what does this stuff really do for small business, or is it just a waste of time? How about that for a first question?
Oh, wow. Oh, that is a good question. Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you, Steve, but social networking is a huge waste of time if you haven't got a strategy in place to use it. It's like anything. It doesn't matter what you do, but you need to sit down and plan what it is that you're doing. Social networking, I think, is a remarkable tool for getting out there and reaching lots of people, helping lots of people, and getting known for what you do. But you need to have a strategy in place before you start. You can't just sort of pick it up, sign up to something like Twitter, and just expect work to flood in. It just doesn't work that way.
And do you think that's where perhaps people like myself have been misconceiving of the whole concept, really, and looking at it as people that are just getting on there and sending inane messages out about what they've just had for their breakfast, lunch or dinner, and we're thinking, well, how will that ever work in business?
Yeah, and of course those ones, you know, click here and get 30,000 followers in 5 days and that kind of thing. Yeah, it doesn't do itself much justice, does it? What would you do in the real world? You know, I mean, not that online is not in the real world, but you can get disconnect. You know, social networking is really what it says on the tin. It's social networking, and it's about you having tools that are available that will enable you to network online as opposed to face-to-face. So, you know, if you were to go to a network meeting and bore people to tears with, you know, click here to get 30,000 followers, or I've just had a cup of coffee, they'd look at you rather strangely.
Yeah, people go to network meetings and do that, aren't they?
I've met a few of them. But yes, I mean, it's like when you go to a network meeting, you think, right, you know, if you're lucky enough to go to a well-organised one where you've got a list of people who you know are going to be there, it gives you a chance to sort of like have a think and plan who you want to talk to and sort of get some prioritisation in order so that when you go to that meeting that you're as active and make as profitable use of your time and the people that you meet their time as well.
And that makes sense to me. Here's the thing, Ian, and this is where maybe you can help unpack this for a few people. Let me just back up a second. Many of you on the call will know and maybe have already registered for an event that we're hosting next week. Ian has agreed to come and speak with me at an FSB event, that's the Federation of Small Businesses, over in Stansted in Essex. So I'm sorry again for those that are overseas. It may be a bit of a jaunt to come to a free seminar, but those that are listening and that are fairly local might like to come and join us. It's a free networking evening between 6 and 8.30. We're doing that, Ian, over at not Bishop's Talk, but it's in Takeley, just outside of Stansted. What we're going to get here really is a good taster from Ian, but having now seen Ian in person and listened to him speak at a proper seminar, we can only really give you a flavour of what that's about today, so hopefully you can come and join us. So, sorry, and back on track. But one of the things that really started to get my attention with social media particularly was you cannot ignore the fact that it's not just kids using Facebook and Twitter, but as I look around, I see it now on every mainstream news channel, ITV, BBC, Sky, government, local government, major high street brands. People are using this technology everywhere, and as a small business, why aren't I yet getting involved? What do you think is putting people off getting involved, and what would be the principal benefits of people looking to spread the wings and take advantage of the technology?
Well, number one, it's about building up your relationship. It's about building up your profile so people know who you are and what you do, and then building up relationships with people who are interested in what you do. and you being able to build up relationships with people who you're interested in what they do and bringing people together. That's the way it should be looked at. And yes, you're right there. Historically, it did start off with, you know, lots of kids going online and using things like MySpace and instant messaging,
yeah,
and taking it off of the internet onto SMS text messaging. It's, you know, it's a very popular activity for children and young adults. And we see that, I suppose, as when we look at what we're trying to do in business, as maybe it's sort of like a trivial thing. But what's happened is that people have started to make good connections through social networking and have discovered people who have, sorry to say the word, but of use to them. They've found people that can help them do the things they can't do.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it. Say you've saved up a couple of £1,000 to go and buy yourself a really decent video camera. The first port of call is probably go to Google and search on Google for a video camera and then go and start looking at some reviews of video cameras.
Yeah.
You might go to Samsung's website or to other video camera manufacturers' websites and have a look. Be more interested in what people's personal experiences are. And it's through these social tools, like people talking about products and services, writing about those products and services on blogs, you go along and you read about those, and the information that you gather from the social conversations that are happening out there is going to help influence what you buy. And if you're not part of that conversation, if you're not involved in that, if you're not chipping in your opinion, if you happen to be a media company that uses video cameras, it'd be a good thing if you had a blog with some articles about video cameras within different price brackets and review things.
Okay.
I mean, that's why I think Witch magazine was so popular, was because it was all driven on the back of people's reviews.
In essence, blogging.
Yeah, in essence, blogging. Yeah,
okay.
In a nutshell.
Okay. Well, look, can we touch on that just for a second? Because I mentioned, obviously, the Twitter and Facebook, some of the things that people are familiar with. But also the term blogging to so many people is something that's still either very unfamiliar or something they see as being, again, an incredibly labour-intensive system.
Mm.
And again, driving towards what? I think when you and I chatted before, Ian, we're both very much on the same page. And any marketing that I encourage people to do, I'm looking for people to get their websites and their materials away from being transactional, where they're immediately trying to make a sale and to build relationships. So what you're saying there is that blogging lets people move to that particular area very much as well.
Absolutely. I mean, psychologically, it's a totally different approach. You know, you go to a company website that's selling video cameras and they're looking to make a sale. There's no personal connection with anybody or anything around product. But when you hit someone's blog, that's someone's personal thing. It's their reputation is staked on what they say. And so, you know, you can more or less guarantee, I mean, you can't every time, but, you know, you can more or less take it that they've written it in good faith and their understanding of the world at their point in time. So therefore, what they say about things tends to hold much more relevance. And people who want to give information like that away, and this is really where I caught on to this, was people who are willing to put their information on their blog about what they know, not only is it helping people who need to know that kind of thing, but it's also helping them to become recognised as the expert in that area.
But a lot of people must feel wary about giving away effectively valuable information.
It is, and you know, and there is what I call the old school of consultants or small businesses, one-man, two-man businesses, that want to hold all their cards to their chest, and they say, you know, well, I could tell you, you know, I could help you with that, but you're going to need to pay me or book an appointment, and I'll charge you £500 for the pleasure, thank you very much.
Yeah.
And then the person who is much more open with their information, putting it out there onto a blog and then using social network tools like Twitter and Facebook status updates and LinkedIn and Academy to draw people onto those blogs when they run into a problem.
Right.
So they hear someone talking about, I've got a problem with X, and you can tweet to them or Facebook status update them and say, actually, I've dealt with that. Here's a solution. Here, come and have a look at my blog.
Yeah.
They can go along, read the article. They can pick up some really, really good information. But it's not just that one person. It's all the people who are listening and tuning into that conversation as well that get drawn into that blog.
Yeah.
And what does it do? It gets that person elevated as becoming the expert in that area. And guess what? When someone gets a requirement for that, whatever it is that person's blogging about, you know, you can guarantee that they'll be the first port of call to get them involved and do the work. And that's how it works.
And that's the thing. When I heard you talking like that the other week at your seminar up in Norwich, wasn't it, when I saw you? That's when things clicked into place for me, because at all the seminars and training things that I'm giving to people right now, I've been encouraging people to move away from having their website set up purely to make a sale, but in order to give something away, a valuable information to give to people, so they can then start to build trust, build a relationship, so that person becomes the person to go to when they're ready to buy. Because I still totally believe that people only buy when they're ready to buy, not when you're ready to sell them.
And exactly.
And what I caught hold of from listening to you was very much that we can now reach out to a much, much wider audience than you would ever have thought possible.
24 hours a day as well.
Yeah, isn't that it? I mean, I picked up some stats somewhere. You know, I'm not sure, you know, things can get exaggerated, but the size of it, the whole social networking scene altogether, I read something somewhere that if Facebook were a country, it would be something like the 7th or 8th largest country in the world in terms of population.
Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but those figures are out of date. It's now the 4th largest country in the world.
Okay, and so people like me should be sitting up and taking note. If Facebook, and that's not purely by kids showing their party the weekend, these are people running them as business sites, sharing good information, driving blogs from them to them, and so on as well.
And the figures are changing day by day as they become more and more popular. It is a phenomenal thing that we're seeing. And I tell you, it's very much like, I don't know, the start of the Industrial Revolution, you know, and the uptake of these new technologies are helping businesses to move forward much quicker, much faster. It's really exciting to watch. One of the things I love, after my presentations, I get people contacting me almost on a daily basis saying, thank you so much, I'm now getting work through Twitter, I've never thought it possible. And it's, and it really is just, you know, as long as you've got that strategy in place about what you're doing and what you're doing it for, and you follow a few simple rules, then, you know, it works.
Okay, well, I'm hoping I'm right here, Ian, but that's the sort of thing, if you go into quite a bit more detail next week when we've got a group of people face-to-face, because you can show us various things on slides and so on, I presume.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go through an example of what I did with a local company to help them increase their sales by 300%, with literally an afternoon's work, so...
Well, I'll tell you what, I've seen some examples, I think, of maybe the one you're talking about, but can you just share that with the people that are listening just now? Because, again, the thing is, we're talking here about building networks and growing, you know, our presence and so on as well, but still a lot of people will say, okay, but what will it actually do for me? Tell me something tangible it can do. You've got, I know, numerous examples, but the one I think you mentioned was, I don't know if you can mention the name of the company or who they are, but some staggering...
Oh, Spat Their Voices.
That's the one I listened to.
It was quite simple, really. You know, they'd got a really good website, and they were getting, you know, they were getting hits and things, and they were making sales, and they were making money, but they knew that they could be making more, and that it could be a lot more popular than it was. So the first thing we did was to sit down and work out a strategy, and it wasn't rocket science, really, to do that. You know, nothing complicated. It was, okay, the objective of what we're going to do is to increase hits to the website, and we're going to increase sales. And we're going to use social networking to do that. So what we did is we created a blog for them, a super blog, and we engaged with a copywriter who wrote some amusing articles, some comedy articles about having sat-nav voices, because one thing about these sat-nav voices is you can download some with bad language, like White Man Van, for example, you know, that will swear at you when you miss a junction. So and we thought it quite funny, if you had a sat-nav voice, if it swore for you, you would be able to avoid road rage because, you know, your anger would be taken out by your sat-nav and not by you.
Lovely.
So we engaged a copywriter to write the articles about how having a sat-nav voice reduces road rage. We got some funny pictures to go with it, and we put some tweets together that would appeal to the type of person that we thought this product would be bought by. And then we set up an automated selection of tweets over a period of time to draw people on Twitter and Facebook onto the sat-nav voices super blog where they could read the article. We surrounded the article with buttons that could be used for people to tell their friends about what they'd just read, how funny it was, come and look at this kind of thing. And they could also buy the product. And it increased the hits to their website by 400%, and their sales went up by 300% over a 4-week period. And it continues to grow because they're continuing with the same campaign.
Wow. And but that's from taking, as you say, again, an integrated strategy, not just going out and sending, let me just pick up on this as well, tweets. I mean, there may be people sitting there listening, like I did just a short while ago, thinking, tweets? What?
Yeah.
First of all, what's a tweet?
Okay. Okay, there's a social network out there called Twitter, which you can sign up to and to create an account, and you give a status update. There's a little box where you type some text. It's restricted to 140 characters. Within that, you type out a message which you send, and the people that are on Twitter can see that message and people can follow you. But that message that you send out is called a tweet.
Okay. So you can send a tweet that will effectively get people to tell people who tell other people, and they start kind of passing on the word about
Yeah, I mean, if you've got a good enough message, it's compelling. I mean, even jokes. I mean, there's people telling jokes over Twitter, particularly topical jokes, with links through to the news articles that back those jokes up, what the joke is about. Twitter's not just for business. It's not just for saying, I'm having a cup of coffee, although some people do just that. That's all they do.
Yeah.
But it is a good place that you can build relationships up with people. I'll give you an idea of the power of this. I was in Brussels week before last, and I had someone come up to me I'd never seen before, but they'd be following me on Twitter. And once we started speaking to each other and we realised who we were, it was like we'd known each other forever. And that's because the relationship had been built up over Twitter.
Yep.
It just goes to show that relationships are built in this way. And it's not just about selling at people, which some people seem to think it is. It's not. And it's not just talking about the mundane. But sometimes the mundane is a really interesting thing to people.
Yeah.
And I can give you a really good example of that. It's somebody who's, take a graphic artist, for example, that's been doing some work, and they're uploading bits and pieces of their work at various stages. Well, normal graphic artists would just want to get their art out there once it's done. But to see the journey that the artist is taking from one stage to the next is absolutely, it's eye-opening, because you think, oh my goodness, you know, they really do know their stuff. Right. But to another graphic artist, it's really mundane. You know, why on earth would they want to know that you've applied this filter or whatever it is that they've done to their image?
Yeah.
But to those people who are interested and they can see the finished art, you know, there is an artist, a graphic artist that I've been following, but when I get the chance, I'll use him. And that's because I know how he works.
Sure.
Because I've followed his work through Twitter and it's really interesting.
Fantastic.
Another idea is Sid the Plumber, for example, you know?
Yeah.
He goes out to a house where the front room ceiling is collapsed and it's all flooded in the front room, and he'll take a picture of the poor housewife standing there with the tears running down, the mascara and all of that, and the devastation of their front room. And over the next 2 or 3 days, he'll be tweeting pictures of how he does his work, gets the builders in, gets the repairs done, and the last tweet that you'll see is a picture of a really happy person shaking his hand on the doorstep. And he tells you the story, you know, it's story of what he does. And
yeah.
Some people have said, well, trade people can't use Twitter. Well, I'm sorry, but there are trade people out there using it and showing their skills off.
Just over the last couple of weeks, since I've been following you and others on Twitter and trying to get my head around some of the technology here, I've noticed an abundance of people, you know, just during those kind of tweets, as you call them, saying, do you know a good plumber? Goodness gracious, does anyone know a good electrician? I mean, for people to watch and see what's happening, I guess you can follow people and look for those kind of tweets that are going out there too to do some prospecting of some sort. What's interesting is you're giving me examples here of all the things that I preach to people too about building relationships rather than just going for a transaction. But the flip side of that too is by going in and integrating this as part of anyone that knows my work and some of the things that I do, I talk about a multifaceted marketing machine that we all need to become, where you can no longer rely on one strand of marketing. You've got to be doing lots of things, spinning many different plates to make the marketing really work. But in doing that, you've got relationship building, but also the example you've had of a 300% increase in their business. Who wouldn't want to be seeing that?
I know. But another thing that gets missed as well is the research, and you touched on it briefly there. I'm out doing these presentations all the time, and I get lots and lots of business cards given to me. With the time constraints that I've got, I find it difficult to sit down and type in 500 business cards so that I can put these people up to date. So I was sent a tweet out a couple of months ago asking if anybody knew of a good scanner. And before I knew it, I got 30 recommendations for a particular brand of scanner which works really well for other people. And which one am I going to buy?
Yeah, lovely, isn't it?
It's brilliant for collecting information and making recommendations as well.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. How do people look at this and try and decide, you know, because again, one of the things that I see and I know is a hang up for an awful lot of people is, okay, now I get it and I can see this would work, but is it an absolute nightmare to try and administer and work with building up your social networking side of things. How much time is someone potentially going to have to give over to this, or how would they manage something like this?
That's a very good question. I've asked this one quite a lot, so no, thanks for asking it. And the answer is really simple. It's little steps is my answer. You just take little steps.
Yeah.
If you try to take it all in at once, your brain's going to conk out, because there's over 3,000 social network applications out there that you could be using, and it's growing every day, and it's growing at an exponential rate. So where do you start? And that's really why, with my presentations, that's why I think it's in such great demand, is people want to know where to start, and that's what they'll see when they come next Wednesday.
So, you know, next week you'll actually cover that, you'll go through.
Yeah, next week I'll cover that, what you need to do, how to get your social networking strategy to revolutionise your business marketing. That's really the title of the presentation.
So, fabulous.
And in a nutshell, it is to take little steps, a little bit at a time. And the first thing you need to think about is about your persona, who you are, what you're trying to do, and how you're trying to, what kind of reputation and brand you're trying to build. And then once you've got that sorted out, it's like, I'll tell you what, Steve, it's like when you do a corporate brochure. You wouldn't go to the printer and go, I just want a corporate brochure, I'm a plumber, do me a brochure, I'm a plumber, here's my phone number and my email address. It just isn't going to work for you.
Yeah.
You need to think about, you know, what's it going to look like? What pictures am I going to have? What words? What are the words going to say? What am I going to try and get people to do with my brochure? What are the calls to action? How am I going to measure that these brochures, when I put them in a particular place, are successful or not? It would take you a week to put that together. Well, social networking is exactly the same.
Yeah.
You need to think about what tools are there available out there, and I'll tell you all about that in the presentation.
Okay.
And where can I go and find out which tools are right for me? I'll tell you that in my presentation.
Okay.
How am I going to put my profile together? You'll learn all about that.
Fabulous.
How am I going to measure what I'm doing as being successful? You'll find out about that too.
Okay.
And initially, it's a lot of work. Just like if you were doing a brochure, it's a lot of work to get it right the first time.
Is it the get-rich-quick scheme then? What's going on? The thing is that I want to make sure everyone understands on the call as well that this isn't meant to be teasing them into things. Next week, it is a free event. We're doing the event in aid of Macmillan Cancer Trust. Neither you or I are charging for our time.
No.
The FSB is supporting the whole event as the Observer newspaper, which is great. But we will be giving them real detail. And what I'm hoping we can do is to tie your presentation and my presentation together, because I'm going to kind of kick things off that evening by talking about people's kind of offline and online strategies and how we get people kind of online and what they should be doing. And then you're going to give them some more finite detail on what the social networking side is all about.
But not technical.
No, you and I don't do technical, at least not at seminars. You're very capable, but it won't be that. It'll be a non-technical piece. So anyone that's looking for all of that, it's the wrong event for you to come to. These will be two guys talking in plain English about how to make some of this stuff work for us. But it is amazing to me. I've seen people with their regular advertising or any of their marketing that will not plan it out and not have a strategy. They'll just do a hit and hope policy.
Yeah.
And they'll think that direct mail doesn't work or the telephone canvassing doesn't work. And I'm sure there are just the same people that have signed up for Twitter, tweeted something about their cup of tea that night and wondered why nothing happened.
Yeah.
Because there was no strategy behind it at all. And I think the biggest thing that I think you seem to stand for, from what I hear, is incorporating this in as very much as part of a strategy, not just promoting being a twit. Could be a twit? Or you're a Twitter, what are you?
No.
Whatever you are when you're tweeting. it's been great. Thank you ever so much for what you've shared with us so far. We're kind of coming to the end of a half an hour already here just now. So I want to give people just one more time, if I can, the web address where you can go and register if you haven't already for next Wednesday evening. I think at the moment we have around about 130 people already registered. We can happily take a few more people in there as well. It's from 6 o'clock till 8:30. It's going to be at the Western Business Centre in Takeley, which is just outside of Stansted. So, anything else you wanted to just leave people with as a final comment?
We're doing another one of these interviews a little bit later today, aren't we? So
we are.
The people that came on a bit later on in the conversations, maybe they'd like to join us later on tonight.
Very good point. Anyone that has listened in, wants to listen again, that's absolutely fine. You can use the same dial-in number and the same PIN code. We will be recording as well. But if you did perhaps dial in a little bit later, I know one or two of you did, you'd be welcome to join us again at 7 o'clock this evening. Again, there's no charge for these calls other than whatever your local rate is. So on that note, Ian, I'll say thank you ever so much indeed for your time. I will talk to you again at 7 o'clock. Thanks, everyone, for joining.
Thanks very much.
Thanks a lot.
Cheers.
Goodbye, all.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.